Mike and Riley go way back. And the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners now joins us. And coach, I actually shared this story with Coach Rule last week about the first time he had appeared on my radar screen. It was 2014. You and I were both at East Carolina. The team was ranked, and you told me after a late Sunday practice, listen, this guy has something. He knows defense. And I'll admit, I rolled my eyes merely just looking at Temple's record at the time. But anyway, of course, you were talking about Matt Rule, and of course, Temple pulled off the upset that weekend, and 6 years later, here I am just to tell you that you were right.
He's done a great job. Now, you could tell, you know, in his early years there that they were really progressing, recruiting well. That day we caught him on probably the worst day ever to play him, too. It was a freezing, driving rainstorm. We didn't play very good, and they played pretty good, and you could tell they're very well coached. And then, it's been fun getting to know him, compete against him in this league, and I'm certainly excited for him with his opportunity with the Panthers.
As you mentioned, 5 years after that, you guys are competing in the Big 12 championship game this past season. With him being the coach of the Panthers, what do you think from his college resume will translate well, and what do you think he will most have to adapt to?
Well, Matt's a good communicator. You know, I think he's organized, has a way about him. I think he's a good leader. And he's obviously spent some time in that league. So I think he's going to do very well. Obviously I think it's such a quarterback driven league that the success of Bridgewater and kind of how that all unfolds will be important. He obviously drafted a bunch of really good defensive players. So I know, he's going to certainly try to build up that side of the ball as much as he can, but he's got a good start. He's got a really good owner. A great city to do it in. He's got probably the best tailback in the league, and so that's always a good start. So it'll certainly be fun to see them as they progress.
You started there with quarterbacks, and speaking of that, you've had your fair share with Oklahoma. But there's one rumor I've heard you. Maybe it was Baker Mayfield talking about in regard to your North Carolina days that I want to get to the bottom of. Baker said you almost convinced him to transfer to East Carolina. How close was that to actually happening?
I don't know how close it got. We had some conversations about it, but I think when Baker made his mind up to leave Texas Tech, he was pretty well set on going to Oklahoma. So we had some, I think, intriguing points to him, but I don't know that was ever going to trump him going to his dream school.
With the Last Dance documentary dominating much of the sports consciousness the last month or so, we've explored many different angles to the Michael Jordan story. We've recently had Roy Williams on, Hornets coach James Borrego, heck, former suite mates with Michael back at Carolina. And I think you have a neat angle here. Oklahoma is one of just four FBS schools to wear the Jumpman logo. Because of that, have you had a chance to chat with Michael?
I haven't. I haven't. We've had a lot of fun connecting with all of their, with all their staff. They've done a tremendous job. I know there's been some talks of getting that done or getting him down here for a game. But they've been great. It's been a great partnership. It's a tremendous brand. Our players have loved it. They've really done a great job of taking care of our players and staff, and it's certainly been cool, unveiling it and kind of, celebrating that with this Last Dance, which, by the way, has been absolutely phenomenal.
I hear coaches, high school, college, heck, even pro, trying to keep their players engaged when they can't be exactly with them at the moment with this documentary, telling them, college kids, with branding, and that seems to be a buzzword the last 10 to 15 years with professional sports, and it's even bleeding down to college. Kids think that they're automatically going to be on campus and they're going to be the guy or stepping into an organization. Michael's mentality, when you see this guy feeling slighted all the time and his level of determination, are there ways you can try to reach your players through this docuseries that has, again, dominated much of the consciousness in sports?
Oh, no question. I think there's so many lessons from it. Obviously Michael's a very gifted athlete, but his success goes so much beyond that. His immediate success, his ability to consistently perform, you know, his ability to block out all the different distractions that were going on when you're, you know, if you're a celebrity of that magnitude and still consistently play at a high level. It's pretty amazing. And the guy's mindset, his determination, he was kind of new school in some ways, but as a competitor and you know, his toughness, his mental toughness, he was very old school. And so, it was almost kind of the perfect combination. So I think he's a great example for anybody, not just people in athletics, of, you know, the kind of mindset, how competitive you have to be, how focused you have to be day in and day out, no matter who you are.
Episode 7 and 8 of The Last Dance Doc going to air this weekend. Lincoln Riley, the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, with us here on Sports Hub Tryon. I know you love hoops. I've seen you courtside at Oklahoma City Thunder's games. You once told me you and Coach Stoops would have put Russell Westbrook at free safety if he played football. But who is your guy? Like, following NBA or college basketball, who's Lincoln Riley's favorite basketball player?
Michael is, for sure. Of all time, there's no question in my mind. I think he's, you know, the best there's ever been, and because of a lot of the reasons we stated, he's my favorite. I certainly was a big Kobe fan, you know, always, you know, loved the way he played for a lot of the same reasons. And, you know, currently in the NBA, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are fun to watch. I'm still, you know, certainly a fan of the NBA, excited about some of these new young players that have come into the league, the era of, you know, Michael and Kobe and then, you know, Magic, Bird, all those guys, that's just so tough to top, man. I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss those days just a little bit.
Do me a favor, Coach Riley. The next time NBA basketball games are allowed to have fans in the stands, find a way to watch Zion Williamson. You need to do it.
He's awesome. He's awesome. He's one of my few guys that I follow. I like the way he carries himself, if he can stay healthy, he's got a chance to be pretty special.
And being behind the scenes on it, covering him at Duke his 1 year there, I can tell you everything you've heard, it's even better than that. And David Cutcliffe, he was with us. I think he said, kind of like you were noting with Russell Westbrook, if he had him on a football field, if Coach K allowed that to happen, he would have put him at defensive end, and it just would be game over without a doubt. But since Jordan was your guy, prime Jordan, where does he go on a football field? Because MJ is the type of guy, hey, maybe if it wasn't baseball, it might have been basketball. It might have been football.
A lot of places. I mean, I think the guy would have been an elite receiver. I think another guy that you put back there at free safety, and, you know, just how physical and tenacious he was, smart, cerebral. There'd be a lot more places you could put him than the opposite, for sure.
Reflecting back on your days at East Carolina, before we let you go, I'll let you out on this. What do you think was the greatest lesson you learned transitioning from being the youngest offensive coordinator at FBS when you were hired by Ruffin McNeil to then being groomed to be a head coach in your few years as the OC for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma? What do you think, as you reflect back, was the greatest lesson you learned from your North Carolina stint?
I would say just probably the ability to adapt. I think, you know, we had different skill sets at East Carolina than we had at Texas Tech or than we've had at Oklahoma relative to our competition. And you've got to find your recipe for winning, and that can be different in a lot of ways. And I think it challenges you in your way in the coach as a coach to adapt. And then also, I would say, I think just the, you know, as a coach, you're always trying to, you know, like any player or anybody else in this, you're trying to put yourself in the best situation you possibly can. And that's, you know, being able to get really good players and have, you know, great staff around you is important, but having the alignment of the administration, the alignment of a community, of the school, all those things matter, you know, if you're going to be really good. And we had a tremendous run there at East Carolina where I felt like we had a lot of those things. You know, stands were full. You know, we had a great AD in Terry Holland. We had a lot of support that was really tremendous, and it was a fun run. I hated to see it in the way it did, but I'm also certainly excited about where this thing's headed right now with Coach Houston and, you know, Donnie Kirkpatrick and a bunch of those guys that you know, we were able to coach with. And we always watch East Carolina when we can. We always keep up, always check the score right after our games, and, you know, excited to see them have a chance to build that thing up back to where it rightfully should be.
Two memories that stick out mostly for me. You're walking off the field with Chancellor Ballard after hanging 70 on North Carolina. And I think it was you or a guy next to me who said that you put up 789 yards in that game. And you kind of, your eyes kind of dilated. They got big because that number, it's just massive. 70 points, I don't think you ever expect to do that. And then Virginia Tech, I was just trying to get down and get interviews or whatever, but I didn't know they were holding the elevator for coaches. So you knock off Virginia Tech, who was ranked at the time, and you storm into the elevator. And then it was you and Coach Nickel who turned around and just said, "What the hell are you doing here?"
Yeah. Oh, those are two good ones, Josh. There's no doubt. We had a lot of great victories for those years, but you know, being able to win the big one there against Carolina the way we did at Dowdy Shuklon was a night. And then yeah, the Virginia Tech one to me is probably will always be, you know, probably my favorite just because we had a hard time getting over the hump against those guys, and they just, you know, beat up on Ohio State the week before, and to win that one in Blacksburg was certainly probably the pinnacle of our time there. In my opinion, it was a monster win for our program, and we had a great celebration.
Coach, I don't think we've had you on in the new show in the Triad, parts of the Triangle as well, where I know there's a strong portion of Pirate Nation residing. Thank you for making the time. It's appreciated.
Of course, Josh. Great visiting with you.
Got it. See you, Coach.